Today's reading is in Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Luke 21, beginning in verse 1. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on." And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" He said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdoms against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famine and pestilence, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives." So taking this the way that Luke has it written, it seems that this observance about people putting their offerings into the offering box sparks a deeper conversation. But first he says that Jesus is looking at the rich putting their stuff in the box, and then he sees this poor widow that puts in two small copper coins. Maybe your translation there says mites. This was the smallest coin that was in use at the time. So it would be like a penny for us. We don't know exactly how much money it actually was in their currency, but it was the smallest denomination, and some say it might have been only a third of a cent. So it really was a tiny amount. But it was all this poor widow had to give. So Jesus says, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. Obviously, he's not talking about money. He's talking about sacrifice. He's talking about willing to sacrifice because of their faith. Now, which is more valuable? If you just give a little bit of pocket change that really doesn't make any impact whatsoever on your life, or if you give up something in order to be able to give to God? That's a lesson I had to learn many years ago, and I think all of us have to learn that when we begin to reach into adulthood, especially as we start to work a job and maybe even support a small family. We have to learn that giving to God is not about having extra, because that never happens. You never have extra. Giving to God means I'm going to give up something. Think about that. I mean, if I don't know what maybe your contribution might be to the church. It might be small. It might be large. But what could you do with that money if you weren't giving it to God? In other words, maybe a neighbor that doesn't go to any congregation at all, what would they do with that money? Would they buy a boat? Would they go on a nice vacation? I mean, it does add up. And so that sacrifice is costing you something. And I mean that in an encouraging way. If you are giving up in order to give to God, you're doing something that God notices. You're doing something that God commends, because that's what Jesus is doing here. He's commending this poor widow for making a true sacrifice in order to give to God. And you don't do that if your faith doesn't support it. You're not going to sacrifice for God if your faith doesn't compel you to do so. Well, this sparks another conversation because while they were there, they said, hey, look how great the temple looks. Look at all this adornment. It's interesting that they say that considering that the Temple of Solomon, I think, would have been much grander. But still, there were things that were pretty to look at. And he says, yeah, these things that you see, there's going to be a day when there's not going to be one stone left on another. It's all going to be gone. So don't get too caught up in how beautiful it looks, because it's not going to last. And of course, this sparks them to ask the question, when is that going to happen? But I think that they know that there is no way the temple would be destroyed without destroying the city. The Jews would fight to the last man in order to protect the temple. So they know that what he's describing is something bigger even than what's going to happen to the temple. So he says, don't be led astray, because people are going to come around and they're going to say, I am he, the time is at hand. He says, don't go after them. You'll hear about wars and rumors of wars, and don't be terrified, for these things have to take place. And he says, the end will not be at once. In other words, there's going to be some gap in there. He says, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Be earthquakes, pestilences, famines. There's going to be all these things that are happening. He says, but before all this, they're going to grab you and they're going to persecute you and they're going to drag you before kings and governors. And instead of thinking that, hey, this terrible thing is happening to me, he says, this will be an opportunity to bear witness. It's going to be like having a forum. You get to talk about your faith. You get to declare Jesus. So he says, settle it therefore in your minds. In other words, decide ahead of time that you're not going to spend time trying to figure out, well, okay, what would I say in this instance? He says, I will give you a mouth and wisdom. And it says, I will inspire you. The Holy Spirit was going to give them utterance to know how they ought to answer. And he says, with that type of inspiration, none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or to contradict. This was a promise that was made to those disciples for that time period. And he warns them, you're going to be delivered up even by parents, brothers, relatives, friends, and some of you will be put to death. He says, you'll be hated for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. Well, is that a contradiction? He says, some of you will be put to death, but not a hair of your head will perish. I think there's two ways to think about this. First, he's still talking about persecution. Second, is he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. If he's talking about the first, which is persecution, then I think he's talking about a spiritual promise. That even if you are put to death, that will not cost you your souls. You will be serving faithfully. If it's the second, if he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, then he's talking about them paying attention with these wars, rumors of wars, these different things that will point them to the fact that Jerusalem will be destroyed, and they can have an opportunity to heed the word of the Lord because they believe in him and they have faith in him and escape that situation. Well, verse 19 says, by your endurance you will gain your lives. That kind of points me to the first, that he's talking about the persecution. I know there are those that would disagree with me, but that's the way that I view it, in the way that it's written by Luke here. So I'll just leave it at that and let you make your own decision in that regard. So understand the whole reading today, whether we're talking about the situation with the widow, or we're talking about the destruction of the temple and the impending persecution, he's talking about sacrifice. Sacrificing for God. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to really pay a price to serve him, whether that price is money and resources, or whether that price is persecution and even our lives? Now, you and I, it's not very likely that we are going to be faced with threatening our lives in order to be faithful. In some part of the world, you would be. And I pray that in the United States that we continue to have our religious freedom so that it will not be so. And I pray that we'll have protection from those that are evil that might want to do harm just because we are Christians. But the fact is, if you're faced with it, then you need to be ready. You need to be ready to pay the price to serve your Lord and Savior. So our prayer today needs to be one of courage and one of sacrifice. Pray that we be willing to pay whatever price may come our way, and that we will make those sacrifices in order to live our faith. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.